Ladies and gentlemen, thinkers and debaters, fence sitters and firebrands, welcome to the Big Top of Talk, the high-flying, death-defying, no-holds-barred spectacle of ideas. This is Common Ground, where left meets right, up meets down, and common sense fights to survive. We're here to cut through the noise, bridge the divide, and maybe, just maybe, find a little middle ground along the way. So grab your coffee, buckle up, and keep your hands inside the conversation at all times. Because it's time for open minds, open dialogue, and maybe even a little common ground for the common good. Here are your hosts, Melissa Lucas and Scott Goodman.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone.
Hello and good morning. Scott Goodman here, and welcome to another episode of Common Ground on KNTR Talk Radio. 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free, Vox Populi, Voice of the People. Catch us here every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. instead of 9 due to daylight savings until spring. My co-host Melissa Lucas is not available today. She is on vacation, and enjoy your vacation, Melissa. Well, on today's show, we're going to be discussing something a little different, a little bit less conflict, but we're going to be discussing the schools here in Havasu, the maintenance issues that continue to struggle and pay for these urgent needs that will cost millions to complete. Most people are unaware of the scope of the problem. Many students see the impact of the school's maintenance issues, but are unaware of the seriousness of the problem and the obstacles that make it difficult to resolve. Duct tape, band-aids, and crazy glue are not going to work. We need serious maintenance. Our guest today is Thomas Patrick O'Connor, who is the maintenance supervisor for the school district. We welcome our lawyer listeners to participate with us on Common Ground. Marissa, how about letting our listeners know about our staff that makes the show happen, some of our sponsors, and let our listeners know how to reach out to us on Common Ground KNTR, exclusively here on the air live.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Common Ground. We would like to thank our co-creator, Red Bull Ronnie, our operations manager, Paul Lavoie, and if you want to pipe in or have a question, you can call us in at 928-854-5687, or you can text in at 928-727-5566.
Well, thank you, Marissa. Listen, guys, before we move on, we got to discuss something topical and germane to today's conversation. Before we move on to that, we need to discuss the State of the Union tonight. The president will be delivering that to a theoretically packed House of Congress, but it is clear that our Democratic representatives will try to make a spectacle of it by any means necessary. Protest clothing, absence, signage, alternative State of the Unions, verbal outbursts, and other ways to disrupt the president. Decorum is no longer the norm. We deserve better from our officials. We are all Americans, not divided political affiliations. Tune in and see what happens. Anyways, good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I appreciate it. So, describe what you do for our school district here and for the students all around the district.
I make sure they stay cool and the lights are on.
That's pretty simple, but there's more to it, isn't there?
Yes, there's a lot more to it.
There's a lot of moving parts to keeping the schools maintained. And what do you know by any chance, off the hand? I'm kind of catch you off guard a little bit. What's the average age of the schools here in town? I mean, how old are our schools?
I would say the average is 45 years to 50 years old.
So, that being said, obviously there's massive amounts of maintenance that needs to be ongoing, as well as projects to replace old equipment that needs to be looked at, but we don't have the budget for it. So, why don't you let our listeners know about some of the things that our schools are dealing with on a daily basis that your district maintenance group are trying to solve for the city and for the students?
I would say the biggest thorn in our side would be the high school. High school currently has a lot of deteriorating mechanical parts. It's an industrial chiller plant there. It has two centrifugal chillers.
What is a centrifugal chiller? How does it work? What does it do?
So centrifugal chiller basically is what's taking all the water is the cooling medium. So it's not refrigerant. Refrigerant's not on the other side of the coil. It's water. So every room would have an evaporator coil with water pipe to it. Cold water when it needs cold, hot water when it needs heating. And basically the water makes itself back to the chiller where the heat is absorbed by the refrigerant and the water is pumped back into the school, cooling the schools down. And then they got boilers, which are also deteriorating, need to be replaced. And the boilers would heat the water for the heating side of that coil.
Okay, so basically besides the maintenance aspect of your job, you're also having to evaluate what needs to be replaced.
Yes, constant forecasting.
And so I believe you had a meeting recently where you stated some of the needs that for the school district as far as the maintenance and new equipment. But at this time, you believe that there's no budget for that at this time to get everything done that you need to get done.
That would be correct. I mean, so the State Facilities Board or School Facilities Division of AZDOA, they are the ones responsible for most of our budget, the majority of the budget for replacing equipment, not for maintenance. We have to actually prove to them that we're maintaining everything so they will fund projects. So usually the projects will go to them. So you'll go into design, and then from that phase you'll go into construction. And usually when it gets to the construction phase, it just kind of sits there waiting to be funded. They get about $400 million a year to the school facilities division. For the state, for the entire state, every school district in Arizona. $200 million of that is usually allocated to new construction. When a school gets to end of useful life, or if it's a new school district, a new area where they need an additional school, $200 million would be funding that. The other $200 million would be going towards projects, which are already, some of them already allocated. So let's just say they get $200 million. Maybe there's only $100 million that's going to get divided up amongst these projects.
Okay, so sorry to interrupt, but so let's just say using your number of $100 million, that's can it be used for new construction projects, et cetera, for the whole state.
Yep.
I talked to you briefly prior to the show airing about the dollar value and cost for the work that really needs to be done in our just small school district here in Lake Havasu. And my math ends up being somewhere north of $25 to $30 million for everything.
That's the tip of the iceberg, Scott.
Well, let's just deal with the tip.
Yep.
At $30 million, that'd be of the funds that are available, that's one-third of the funds for the entire state of Arizona.
Correct.
So, in other words, it's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
So everyone's got their hands out for the money. So one school district does not have the ability to override other school districts by need.
Correct.
How do they choose?
Well, there is some need. So if you have a claim with the insurance, for us, our insurance company is the trust. So if you have a claim into the trust for damage, you would be higher a priority on that list. We do not have any claims per se for damage to the trust.
Just wear and tear.
Wear and tear. You know, every time it rains, it does leak. So I have four schools right now in BRG, in construction
BRG?
Phase, building renewal grants. That would be who would fund mechanical replacement roofs, weatherizations. They'll fund, you know, if there's a package unit on a roof needs to be replaced or a chiller or a cooling tower, they would be the ones to fund that. As you know, at the last meeting, I had to have Thunderbolt. We had to fund that within house. So we use bond funds or capital funds to do a rebuild of the two cooling towers at Thunderbolt.
But that was critical.
The need was there. So there's other stuff that could be critical. If a chiller goes down, like I was saying, you know, Thunderbolt itself has a 36-year-old chiller. It has two. But one of them's 36 years old. It is up for construction. It is a BRG.
But with no money.
With no money.
So what do you do as a maintenance supervisor, knowing that the children, our children in our schools, are in some respect substandard maintenance because of lack of funding? How do you put a Band-Aid duct tape or crazy glue to hold it together to where, one, the kids are healthy and safe, two, they're not uncomfortable, and three, maintain within the internal budget that you have? How do you pull that off?
It's not easy. I mean, we are constantly working on maintaining, repairing, replacing pieces and parts, and it's getting more expensive and harder to find. There's equipment at the high school that you cannot find parts for. It's no longer
So it needs to be replaced.
It needs to be replaced.
So here we are in a situation where I'm just going to throw a number out there. Would you believe that in the next 3 to 5 years, some of these are going to have major catastrophic failures without replacing?
That's safe to say.
Okay, and so are the people involved in the budgeting aspect of our problem here in Havasu, are they aware of that? That we're at critical mass in some places?
They are aware of that, yes.
And is there anything that can be done on a local level? I spoke with you prior to the show in potential sponsorships by large business concerns or private foundations. There's got to be alternative outside-the-box ways of trying to address this. If the state or the county or the city can't do it, it needs to be done, correct?
Yes, it would need to be done.
Well, have they been exploring, they being people above our pay grade, have they been exploring alternative or looking for answers and ways of overcoming this? I mean, this is substantial. You were telling me it's after being reduced for the roof. How much was that? Just the roof.
Just the high school was $15 million.
$15 million to replace the roof on one high school in one school district in our state. And there's somewhere around 100 million available approximately.
Yeah, and that's like there's seven individual buildings, maybe more, maybe a little less at the high school. So that's several buildings, all different roofing materials. But yeah,
so it needs to be standardized, of course, if they replace.
Yes.
So now this 400 million that gets windowed down to 200 million, that gets windowed down to 100 million for existing projects. This is annually? This is annually.
Annually, yes.
So how do you get in the queue to be part of the 100 million that's already been allocated? How does that get the approval process? So if you put a position paper and an estimate to the entities that be, how does it get approved?
That's within the SFD. There's several.
What's the SFD?
That's the School Facilities Division of the AZDOA.
Okay. So it's a bureaucracy at its finest, of course.
Yes.
And so who submits the proposal?
So right now, I will take all the information and give it to our grants coordinator, Ms. Christina Cutter, and she will put it in the system, in the queue of the SFD. Starts off with an application for deficiency. So you prove you have a deficiency. Sometimes it'll need an assessment, which an assessment by us isn't good enough.
No, an outside entity, and I understand
yep.
that. So they come in and do it's like a appraisal would be on a house.
Correct.
To look for those deficiencies, but on a school level. So once the application is submitted, it gets reviewed by whoever reviews that.
Their board.
And then gets thumbs up or thumbs down, correct? Or does it go to committee?
So I've never had a thumbs down. Basically, it'll make it through. I mean, it'll make it through. It'll show that you have a deficiency. You need this piece of equipment or this job. And then basically from there, it goes to the next phase, which is construction or design. So sometimes high school had to be redesigned.
Well, we're going to talk about this and more and delve deeper into it on our next segment here on Common Ground, KNTR 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free. Here we are back on Common Ground on KNTR, and I believe that my engineer slash assistant here, Marissa, has some people to talk about our sponsors that keep this show going.
Yes, we do. So, starting with Blonzy Steakhouse, mouthwatering steaks and a breakfast menu that has everyone talking. Whether it's date night or brunch with friends, great taste is always on the menu. Blonzy's is where Havasu eats, off London Bridge Road in Desert Hills. Next, we have Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware. They're the small-town store with the biggest auto and hardware selection in the area. Find what you want online at goldenvalleyhardware.com and pick it up in-store today, just off Bowie Road in Golden Valley. Shopping at Annie's Thrift Store isn't just about great deals, it's about giving back. Every purchase helps support local charities, making your find more than just a bargain, it's a blessing. Annie's Thrift Store, Thrifting with a Purpose, and Martin Swanee Chrysler Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Kia. Since 1985, Martin Swanee Kingman has been more than a dealership. It's a legacy built on honest deals and handshakes, celebrating 40 years of doing right by folks one happy driver at a time, off East Andy Devine in Kingman.
Well, thank you very much for that, and our discussion was left off talking about the budget process and the approval of plans. You called them PR deficiencies, or
a BRG is what we're filing for, but yes.
So once it's approved and it's in the queue,
correct,
from your experience, how long do you sit in the queue? You're at the bottom of the heap and you move up slowly, correct?
Really slowly. So, yeah, I would say with Nautilus being the first BRG I filed for a roof and weatherization, that was in 2022. It's still sitting in the queue waiting for funding.
So there you go. So 3 to 5 years?
It could be. I mean, so we got a deficiency during the fire inspection at the high school. The stage curtains, they have to be IFR or FR fire rated. So we got a violation on those. They were from 2000 and I want to say 8. And so they were falling apart. And they could not be cleaned and retreated.
Have they been replaced?
They just got funded and we just got the PO over to the company to order them.
And that process took how long?
That was almost 2 years.
2 years for curtains.
So yes.
Curtains.
And okay. This is $100,000 worth of curtains.
Huh?
$100,000 worth of curtains.
I want to be in this business.
It's a great business, huh?
$100,000 for curtains for the stage at the theater.
Just about. So Little Theater and the PAC, the Performing Arts Theater, both of those together combined. So, but the PAC has a lot of, that's like 13 panels. They're big.
They're
okay.
Big.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess the point I'm getting at is, I'm used to this in government. There, you know, I use the term, you kick a dinosaur in the tail and 20 minutes later they say, ow. So when it comes to the government, the movement of government, how slow it is, it's very methodical, very slow. I get that. But when it comes to our kids and our schools, I would think that there's an urgency that's different from other situations, other budgetary outlays. So, the $400 million windowed to $200, windowed to $100 million. If you're spending $100,000 approximately on curtains for one small school, curtains, when we need roofs and cooling systems and heating systems and you name it, we need it. So is there a solution that we can find statewide and locally that could provide the necessary funding to get this stuff done and either done with existing funds or done from outside funds? Is there any panels or committees that are looking for solutions?
I don't believe so. Not that I'm privy to.
Well, I'm concerned, and I'm concerned for a number of ways. You've got the president, our president, who is doing what I believe is the right thing, which is to try to get rid of the Department of Education and revert everything back to the states, where the states can find, because the states know what the states need. The federal government does not know what the states need. They know what, you know, to shell out money, taxpayer dollars. So if, in fact, he's successful at the elimination of the Department of Education and we have the states have the money and the funding from the United States, from the federal government, goes to the individual states, I'm wondering if that's going to clean things up and make things easier. Does any of this have to go through any federal hoops at all? Because some of the funds are coming from the Fed.
The only federal funds that I'm aware of were the ESSER funds that came with COVID.
And that's what we're going to talk about, too, on this segment. So the ESSER funds, ESSER 1, 2, and 3, correct?
That is correct.
And there were three separate batches of funding that went through over an incremental period of time from the beginning of COVID all the way through, I think you mentioned, 2023?
I believe I had to spend the amount, the one ESSER 3 that I actually used in maintenance to do ventilation throughout the district. I believe it was September of 23. Could have been September of 24 when that project was completed.
Right.
But I don't have that note in front of me. And
so for people who don't know, because I didn't know until I started doing some research, the ESSER funds, and the acronym, I can't, it's Emergency Relief fund, basically, is what it basically boils down to. These funds were created by the federal government in a budgetary process to send money to struggling schools during the COVID issue. But what I find ironic about this is that the schools, many of them were closed during this, and that would have been the opportune time to do maintenance. You know, if the schools were shut
down.
They
weren't truly closed.
It was, you told me what they did.
Yeah. It was a half and half. There was only one day of the week, which would have been Wednesdays, that the school was empty.
Now, we're just specifically talking about the high school. Now, the
elementary
and middle school.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure about the other ones.
My son had no school to go to. He did it all at home.
I didn't start working.
We do have a call. Hello, caller. Welcome to Common Ground.
Hello. Thomas, this is Tony.
Hey, how's it going, Tony?
Good, help yourself. Hey, I'll give you guys a little background. I worked with Thomas before I retired from the school district. I was at the school district for 18 years.
Okay.
And we've been dealing with this with the state for the BRGs and stuff, by whole tender there. And it comes back down to the bottom line. Our state representatives that will be elected representatives down the state are not funding the schools properly. These are state facilities, which they are obligated to fund, as Thomas laid out, roofs, chillers, and all that stuff. So the bottom core of this, we need to go back to our representatives to make sure they fund the proper amount in the budget for the school facility board, where we get our BRGs done and put in place.
You know, Tony, I do truly appreciate this call, because there's some disturbing things that happen on a state level. I'll give you an example. One of my friends and someone I've known for years did something tremendous that never was able to get done, which is to get funding for a second bridge at London Bridge, okay, on the island, which is something needed, because if the bridge was damaged or something, people would just literally get trapped on the island. So the amount of the budget, I believe, is $5 million. Now, Thomas here is telling me that the high school roof alone is $13, $14, $15 million. It's a staggering amount of money compared to the fact that they're going to be building a bridge for $5 million, but the roof is $13 to $15 million. It's insane, the disparity in those numbers. I don't get it. Why is it so expensive to replace a roof?
I'm not on that side of an official roofer, but at the high school, you got multiple different types of roofs. You got different material, different stuff. It can often fall into structural issues once you start tearing the roof apart.
Right, and whatnot.
That's where the assessment comes in. So, for order to get the assessment, as Thomas laid out, we got to have the company come out and do the assessment when the state approves it. So on and so forth. My reason for my calling was, our state representatives that we have elected in the past, regardless of who they were, has not focused on our schools as their representatives. They knew the state facility school board was being underfunded. So now the state facility school board has to make decisions about how they want to fund things, because they're not being funded to address these. Throughout the whole state, they have laid out priorities. And one other thing I want to say, if you have seen on the news in the past where like a Gilbert school roof falls in during a storm or whatever, unfortunately I have to say that if we want attention out here from state facility school board or the state, we're going to have an unfortunate disaster before we get funded properly and not make the taxpayers pay for this to fund our schools and get them repaired.
Well, in my experience in just human nature, it always takes a disaster before people pay attention. That's just the way it's been throughout time. But I will tell you, Tony, the part that you hit right on the head, you know, priorities. I don't believe that the state government and our state officials or our state officials do not hold the schools in a high priority. They hold education in a high priority. They don't have the maintenance and the maintaining of the schools' safety facilities. I don't think they have them as a prime focus. They all talk about education and the kids and all that. But I appreciate the call, Tony, and feel free to call us anytime.
Okay, yeah, I'll listen off my favorites.
Thank you.
We got a text in that says the budget for the second bridge is actually $36 million.
I was going to say, I think the $5 million is just infrastructure.
Is that what it was?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I thank you for the text. I appreciate that. But even let's just use that number, $36 million. Okay, $15 million for the roofs in a high school versus $36 million to build a brand-new giant bridge.
Tony did mention it. There is some structural compromise at that school, so there is going to be some structural work. Again, why it's $15 million, it's
well, I just know that we're in a bad spot, and it doesn't seem like there's any viable, workable short-term solutions to the problem when we get in a queue and we're looking at, you know, a few years minimum before it's even addressed. And just like anything else, then they've got to do the studies and the true estimates.
And that's just roofing. Like I was telling you before, mechanical, that might be somewhere between $20 and $30 million itself. So in my head, that school, they need to start thinking about tearing down buildings and rebuilding. And getting
would it be cheaper?
It would be cheaper and getting away from the chilled water.
We have another caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to Common Ground. What can I do for you?
Yeah, listening to this whole conversation brings to mind the bureaucracy, what we're turning out in schools. It just cries out charter schools that are more efficient, where leadership can make decisions and lead. This is just crazy. That's all I got to say after listening to all this. I'll hang up and
listen. Thank you. I appreciate the call and the input.
It's
thank
crazy.
You. It is crazy. Thanks. Thank you. So, charter schools.
And I would agree with what he just said about having control of your spend. I came from a different world. I've only worked for public schools for, this is going on 4 years. It's been a big lesson for me to learn on just how you cannot get stuff done.
Well, we have a situation, you know, I don't want to get into all the weeds here on this one, but you've got a bloated bureaucracy. You know, let's just leave it at that. Meaning that there's just so many fingers and hands in the pie that it keeps it difficult for there to be a cohesive strategy, a one unified direction. And we'll be discussing that on our next segment here on Common Ground on KNTR 106.7, 5 and 3. Voice of the Free, thanks for the calls and the texts.
And it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire.
Welcome back to Common Ground here on KNTR Talk Radio. And Marissa, I think we have some more sponsors and continue to let our listeners know how to reach out to us on Common Ground.
That we do. All right. Going to give a shout out to our sponsors that makes this show possible, starting with Meat Pool and Supply, serving Lake Havasu since 1970. From expert consultations to top-notch supplies and service, they've got everything for pools and spas. Family-owned and operated right in the heart of Havasu. It's where your backyard oasis begins, at 52 Scott Drive. Trailside Firearms and Trading Company. Buy, sell, trade, new iron, old iron, full collections. And if you're looking for something special or hard to find, Trailside makes it happen. Getting a fair deal and what you want today. This is the trail you take. TrailsideFTC.com, Main Street, Havasu. Where the barbecue is slow and the smoke is thick, and Hank the Tank, the propane pig, silently judges you while you eat. Award-worthy barbecue voted best in Havasu, behind the Cigar Bar, corner of Scott Drive and Main Street, Stubby's Red Wagon Barbecue. And Parker's Collision Center, locally world famous, they accept all insurances. Parker Collision is the only shop in Mojave County with a state-of-the-art paint booth big enough for RVs to 18-wheelers. From fender benders to full-size giants, take it over to two decades of experience. Parker Collision Center at 10479 Brockman Road in Mojave Valley. And we do have a new sponsor. We don't have a thing for them yet, but Perfectly Pressed Cleaners is our new sponsor.
All right.
And three of our sponsors are also locations for your chance to win a 4-day pass to Country Thunder. Enter today at Martin Swanee Kingman, Annie's Thrift Store, or Trailside Firearms. And I'm going to quick give out the numbers again if you want to pitch in. You can call in at 928-854-5687, or you can text in at 928-727-5555. 6-6. Sorry about that. Can't talk. Back to you, Scott.
Thank you. So, listen, I think the underlying problem here is has always been the dollar, you know, just getting the money. I think what ends up happening is they want to get a budget passed. They want to get the money allocated to where it needs to go, but there's always overages. They put money in one area and they say, just like you said about the high school, once they start digging the roof out and tearing it out, they're going to find lumber substructures that need to be replaced. It's a Pandora's box, you know, when you start going through this, correct?
And yes, and a lot of that is accounted for in that number. So they do go, hey, we may have to replace this amount of wood, this amount of metal decking. We might damage a curb when we're putting the equipment up.
So as normal, they build in fluff into the budget, unknowns.
Correct.
So now here's an interesting question for you, now that you do this for a living. What happens when you tear out the roof and you've got this budget passed for X amount of millions of dollars and you don't find any underlying problems and there's no unseen issues? Does that money go back, or do you find a way to spend it on things that are needed for the school?
No, that money actually will go back.
Okay, well, that's interesting, because in my experience in the past is they'll find a way to spend it.
Yes, and with the BRG, they don't like there to be really any overage. That's why I was telling you it started off at 20, and we got it down to like 15. So we did take out most of what you would consider fluff or contingency money.
So it's a pretty tight budget.
It's a pretty tight budget.
All right, so here's where I'm wondering. Do you believe, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, I would understand. Do you believe that at this current time, you mentioned off air that there was mold testing and environmental testing for students, that families that complained that they were getting sick?
Correct.
Now, my son gets sick frequently from school, but that's, I don't know, going to school,
yep,
and interacting with hundreds and hundreds of kids all day long. You're going to get sick. It was part of the deal. That's how kids build their immune system up. But would you believe, do you believe at this time that there's any safety concerns other than comfort?
No.
There's no safety concerns for you?
No. I've single-handedly been the one. When I started here, I was an air conditioning guy. I was promoted to supervisor. I'm still on rooftops changing filters. I've never seen any mold, any mildew, anything to make me think that there's any kind of underlying issue.
Right.
I've been above ceilings. I mean, these schools are old.
Sure.
But I've never seen anything to be...
Well, it's good to hear that.
Yes, yes.
Now, you mentioned before when we had a discussion quite a while back, in reference to the plumbing in the high school, for example, you have a lot of substandard or decaying plumbing. Is that a major concern?
It's a concern for me. That's one of the reasons that I feel like we should start thinking about building new buildings rather than putting Band-Aids and putting new equipment on old buildings. The infrastructure, what's underneath the ground, it's definitely deteriorating. We just had a pipe fixed at the high school. Same thing, had to be dug up, and it was just corroded and deteriorated and collapsed.
Not a problem. So that's an easy fix, but you have to get into the walls, and that's not easy.
No, or you have to line pipes. Again, this is very expensive, so it's just putting Band-Aids on things.
Sure. Well, we got a text, I believe, Marissa.
We did get a text. They said, government in general is masterful at creating a situation of neglect. That way it becomes a crisis. This is more easily marketed to the public to increase taxes or special funding like overrides or bonds. Seems almost by design.
Wow. It could have come out of my mouth. I agree with this text wholeheartedly for the simple reason that people only respond to emergencies, generally. Everything becomes background noise unless it becomes an emergency,
right,
or a tragedy. If somebody dies, if somebody gets hurt, if they have to close the school, then it becomes on the forefront of everybody's mind. So in a way, it is by design, I believe, but I don't think that the hearts and minds and the efforts of the maintenance department, for example, they're not into that. They just want to solve the problem.
Definitely.
They want everything to be safe and clean and working properly. They're maintenance people. They want to fix it.
Exactly.
They want to fix things. You're not into politics, so to speak, in regards to the maintenance department.
No, I'm not. And I will tell you this, that I have single-handedly, we have created more preventative maintenance programs. We have changed the filtration to a higher standard since I've been there. We have done everything we can possible to protect the equipment that we have, especially the new equipment. As I mentioned before, the ESSER money, we spent about $6 million on ventilation. That was over 150 new package units. Those are direct expansion package units, not part of the chilled water system. system throughout all the middle schools and
what
the high
school. What are package units?
Package unit is what's on the roof of your house. So, you know, basically the same thing. So some of them are gas pack, gas electric, some are heat pumps. But we did over 150 of those throughout the district with the ESSER money.
Did you feel that it was money well spent?
Yes, because like you said, lack of funding made substandard filtration, substandard maintenance in the past. These units could have been 15 years old, could have been 10 years old, but they look like they were 30 years old. So getting those off of the buildings, getting fresh units in and keeping good filtration in them has been very important to us.
Well, that's also a major priority here, being how hot it is.
Definitely.
I remember I took a summer program at the high school, and the AC was not ideal. We were all miserable.
Well, that's kind of what I talked to you about before, if you had any experience with that. I think that
I forgot about that.
It does happen, especially during the summer when the drag and drain on the system is great, and the use
definitely
is way up. I mean, here in this time of year and earlier, it's not an issue at all. You know,
no.
Everything's off. My air conditioning, my electric bill, way down right now,
mm-hmm.
because I'm not using it. But I was going to ask you, Thomas. I've heard rumors that you may be potentially running for city council. Is that true?
That is true. I did get a packet, and I've been getting signatures.
Well, good. Congratulations. You know,
Thank you.
I wish you nothing but the best on that. And I really appreciate you being here for the community, for our kids. You know, most people don't see the maintenance department as being a component of the school district. They think of teachers, administrators. They think of everything but the maintenance department. It's kind of like you're in the behind the scenes. In many ways, you are.
We definitely are.
But without you guys doing what you do, our schools would not be operating, and that's terrible, you know. But I want to go into this the budget aspect of things. So we have a potential for another request for an override. I believe that the last one was 2016, 10 years ago. I was acutely aware that I was very active in my kids' school at the time, and I had a lot of friends who were teachers who were pushing for it pretty hard. And do you know what the override's all about and what it represents from a tax perspective, or is it just from the meat and potatoes for the budgetary aspect?
Yeah, for me, I have not been through a bond or override. I'm learning about it, but for me, it's just I just know when I'm spending the money where it came from.
So for most people, I would assume, are aware of the concept of an override. Basically, it's just a budgetary override. And the way they garner the funds generally is through an increase in property taxes. Okay? So a lot of people have blowback on that, understandably speaking. With the current economic situation for many people, when we're on a tight budget, to tell people that they're going to get a temporary, let's say 1.75%, it doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, it adds up, you know, and increasing their property taxes to pay for things that they don't know what is technically going to go for. They hear override and they just see increased taxes and they're like, no. I think that the position with current social media since 2016, I think the awareness is if they're going to do something like this, they need to tell people, hey, this is what it really costs you and this is what it really brings to the table, and show them the deficiencies and show them the budgetary shortfalls. I think that it may get some more better traction. It took years to pass the last override. And do you feel personally, Thomas, that the override is something that we need? Or do you think we can go about it through traditional funding and budgetary process?
So, you know, there's been a change of hands with the business department. I'm not that privy to what the budget currently is, the reoccurring budget, what the actual labor budget is for our school district, what the fixed costs are annually for our district. That's not something that's on my desk. I know they're asking for, or they are talking about going out for that override. I would imagine they need it, but I do not know how the last override money was spent.
Well, let me ask you this much. Let's just put it in perspective. If your department was given millions and millions of dollars to be spent on critical infrastructure repairs and maintenance, would that be something that would be extra from the normal budget, something that would throw you over the top to be able to maybe do most of the work that needs to be done? If you're allocated millions of dollars, how would you apply that money? I mean, if you get 15 to 20 million just for the high school,
If they gave me $15 or $20 million for the high school, we would definitely.
No, not for the high school. We have other schools. I believe you told me $3.4 million or $5 million each for Nautilus, Havasu Pine, Oro Grande.
That's roofing and weatherization. Each school $3.4 million.
Right. So we're in a situation we can't pay for any of this.
No, that's why the school facilities division is supposed to be the one funding these projects. They just have not. They had a shortfall in their budget. There's been a lot of talk. I had an architect tell me the other day that there's been talk of a $1.5 billion budget for the school facilities division over 3 years. $500 million. I have not heard that that's actually happened, but that is the talk. So will it happen? I don't know.
But once again, let's just say $500 million each year, of which how much is carved out for other things, how much is carved out for this, and when the dust settles, how much money is going to be left for Lake Havasu exclusively for repairs and maintenance? It probably won't be much.
We might not see anything.
Exactly.
Again, we were talking about this before. I've had a couple of air conditioning units for K-Hall at the high school. They've been in the queue for 6 months with no funding.
So, and that's how much is that project?
And that's maybe $30 million, or $30,000.
$30 million.
We've been talking a lot of millions, but no,
$30,000. They're waiting 6 months.
6 months.
But it's been approved.
It's sitting there waiting for
funding.
Yep.
Isn't K Hall the gym?
The new gym. Well, it's not new anymore, but yes, the new gym.
Okay.
Yes.
So, a small project of $30,000 has been tied up for 6 months.
Correct.
Now, for me, 6 months at this point is not that long of a time for approval and funding for a project. It doesn't matter if it was $30,000 or $300,000 or $3 million. It usually takes about the same amount of time. I would say it takes between 6 months and a year, year and a half. I go with the dinosaur. You kick the dinosaur's tail, and 20 minutes later, they say, ow. You put in a budget request that's approved, then they got to figure it out.
Correct.
So, I'd say that bureaucracy at its finest, that's what we're always dealing with in both government and... But we'll be dealing with that again in our final segment here on KNTR Talk Radio, Common Ground, 106.7, 5 and 3, Voice of the Free. Here we are back for our last segment here on Common Ground on KNTR Talk Radio, 106.7, 5 and 3. Hey, Marissa, one last time. Tell people how to get a hold of us, even though we have limited time.
All right. I need to grab my paper. You can call us in at 928-854-5687 or text us in at 928-727-5566.
So here we are talking about something that, if you have children here in town, they're going to school, and they're going to schools that need work. And I don't think most people are aware, because it's very behind the scenes, what it really takes to maintain these schools. I mean, think of it this way. All of us remember going to school and seeing maintenance guys around the school with their tan shirts, you know, walking around with their patches on and, you know, with electrical stuff in a toolbox, doing whatever they did. And they were kind of invisible behind the scenes, and we didn't ever think about it. Now, here we are as adults, and pretty much the same thing. We don't think about school maintenance as a component of the school environment that our children are in. It's invisible in many ways, and in many ways it should be. They should be focusing on their education and their teachers and the classroom environment. But if the classroom environment, as Marissa said, over summer school, there was times when it got pretty darn hot in the schools. My son complained about it many times. My older son is in the Navy, and it seemed to be recurring, which tells me that the maintenance isn't being done properly because of lack of funding. They don't have the money to fix it. Once again, Band-Aids, duct tape, and crazy glue, you know.
Oh, the school district was underfunded for many, many, many years in the past. I mean, severely underfunded. That's a fact.
And that's where the part of the override drive was for. And I remember it back in the day when we were talking about something as simple as dry erase boards and smart boards for the school. Our school, my son's school, they all went to Oro Grande, for example. They didn't have walkie-talkies. So we raised money and got them walkie-talkies. They didn't have the funding to get all the schools with the smart boards. We raised money and the mounts, so we raised money and were able to get that for the schools. Audio systems for the auditorium. Didn't have them. We made it happen. And so it was a grassroots, and that's kind of where I wanted to end the discussion on the show is alternatives. Sometimes you have to think out of the box. If the government isn't working for us and that we can't achieve what we need through the traditional means, there's got to be alternatives. Private funding. I'm a board member on the museum, for example, and we have large corporations and companies here in town, local companies, that spend a lot of money sponsoring exhibitions, helping us out with drives for raising funds for the museum. Well, I know it sounds crazy, but what about the schools? If companies are willing to sponsor football fields, why not, you know, get a building, for example, the Anderson Chrysler, instead of the K building or C building, you can have it as the Anderson Chrysler building. You know, name it after a benefactor. Have them take that and own that building in reference to maintenance and upkeep of the building. It would be a component of their budget, where they can donate money to help facilitate the needs of the school district. Is that something that you've ever thought of?
I mean, I would definitely say I've thought of it, and it would be excellent. It's an excellent idea, and it would be excellent if that could happen. I just don't know if you'll see that happening.
Well, I think you just have to try.
Yes.
You know, so what has to happen is people would go to a board meeting, school board meeting, and say, hey, look, you know, let's solicit some of our local businesses if we have a budgetary shortfall and the simple maintenance of the buildings, maybe they can help us. If they're willing to donate for other things and get their name out there, why not for the schools? They'll feel good about it. It'll help the children. And it'll solve an issue, solve a problem. I think it's a big win. It's something that I may actually be looking at and discussing going forward. But as we wind down our show today, Thomas, how do you feel about, you know, going forward with the possibility of an override and it passing? Do you believe that there's a chance of it passing? And will that have enough of an impact on the needs of the maintenance department to facilitate their needs to maintain our schools? Do you think it's enough? And do you think it will pass?
I would say in this community, there's a 50-50 chance. That's my honest opinion.
Okay.
Would it help facilitate some of the needs? Yes. Would it completely take care of all the needs? No. I mean, if the last one was in 2016, that means 10 years. We need another one. In those 10 years, there's still, like I said, somewhere upwards $50-plus million worth of projects that need to be done.
We have one more final text, I believe.
Really quickly, just want to get this out there. I think a big disconnect in transparency is where every dollar goes and if it is allocated to any government entity. If we could track every dollar easily, the taxpayers would be more confident it was not wasted.
Well, real quick to respond to that, line item vetoes, budgetary overview. I mean, we need to actually look at the budgets and see 600-something pages of where the money goes. So in our last little minute here, I want to tell you I'm disappointed in the lack of urgency in regards to the maintenance of our schools. It's only going to get worse. It's not going to improve on its own. There's no magic pill. It needs to be fixed. We need to spend the money and not allocate it elsewhere. And I will tell you that I look forward to hopefully that we can get some change. We can maybe get the override passed. I'm not a big fan of increasing taxes, but if that's the only outlet for getting this done, then so be it. So listen, we're winding down here on the show. Next week's show on Tuesday, we're going to be having Clara Pratt and Jonathan Hill. They're going to be on our show to discuss the issue at hand, which will be theirs to discuss, and I'll be posting that online. And we'll have a great show next week, and I look forward to talking to you all again on Common Ground, KNTR 106.7, 5 and 3. Thank you, Thomas, for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
You bet.
This is KNTR Talk, KDJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.